Communication can be difficult for some people. It may be due to a moderate to severe stutter they've had all their life, or a catastrophic event like a stroke that renders them inarticulate. In today's Friday Forum, WNIJ's Guy Stevens tells us how researchers, including some at Northern Illinois University, are using music to help overcome or alleviate speech problems in ways they are still trying to fully understand.
Jamie Mayer is Associate Professor of Speech-Language Pathology in the School of Allied Health and Communicative Disorders. She oversees several projects at NIU that capitalize on the interfaces of music, language, and thought.
And what we have found over the years, and what we've already known, but now what I've been able to see, experience clinically over the years, is that music has this way of drawing out language and cognition in ways that sometimes other stimuli can't or other situation cannot.
The results have been remarkable. For instance, Mayer says she's used music with stroke victims and found they could sing even if they couldn't speak at all, a condition called aphasia that's not uncommon after a stroke.
I've used it with patients who have really severe dementia who might look like they're completely in their own world, but then you stick a pair of headphones on them and start playing music from when they were in, say, their 20s, and all of a sudden they're dancing along and singing a little bit and they've come to life.
She also oversees the Bridges Choir at a local nursing home. It's made up of people with stroke, brain injury, or memory problems who nonetheless are able to sing, even if language or memory is otherwise hard for them. So how does this happen? Mayer says researchers have found it has something to do with how music is stored in the brain. She says it turns out nearly every part of the brain is involved.
What that means is that if someone has brain damage affecting a specific part of the brain, even if language is like completely gone or memory is almost completely gone, music is much more likely to be spared.
Mayer says they then can use music to draw out the individual. She says another reason music works so well is something called cognitive self-efficacy,
which is basically this belief that you're good at something, that you're useful, that you're able to do something. And one of the biggest ways to boost that is to put someone in a situation where they are good at something.
Like singing. Mayer says she's seen that positive reinforcement give people a boost in efforts to improve function in other areas of their lives. It's not just extreme situations like strokes where music can be helpful in communication. A generation of country music fans remember Mel Tillis as the performer who stuttered badly when he spoke, but never when he sang. And there are other examples in the arts. Jane Fraser is president of the Stuttering Foundation of America. She says stuttering isn't just one thing, but rather a spectrum, ranging from almost unnoticeable or occasional to so severe as to interfere with one's ability to function at school or work. The causes may be several, too. Genetics plays a big part, but also environmental or psychological factors, or some combination. But she says experience has shown something as simple as nursery rhymes help very young children with language skills, and for them as well as adults, singing can help with stuttering regardless. She says a key part of that is the difference between conversational speech and an activity like singing.
Some folks who stutter have a problem with word retrieval. They're searching for the word, so in other words, there's a language component. And they're searching for the word, and that may be part of what is slowing them down and slowing down their speech. So the lyrics in the song are already given to them.
Mayer refers to this as automatic versus volitional speech, something that gets ingrained in your brain's neural pathways as a memory, even if you aren't conscious of it, as opposed to something improvised. An example of the former could be when you hear a song on the radio that perhaps you haven't heard in years, but you're still able to sing along with it. Fraser says a song's rhythm also seems to help stuttering, and certainly the melody. She says there are specific centers and associations in the brain that help explain why.
Singing is probably over in the right hemisphere where there's emotion and there's happiness, and talking is usually in the left where you're trying to think of what you're going to say and you're under some kind of pressure to put a sentence together.
As Fraser suggests, being familiar with a song isn't the whole story. One of Mayer's colleagues, NIU Associate Professor In-Sop Kim, actually tried to see what happens in the brain of someone who stutters when they use music to speak. Kim conducted a small study with a man who had a severe stutter using a technique another researcher had developed.
Simply, the guy think about all the melody that he could do, and then whenever he talk about some events, he think about the melody, and then he put his, words in the melody.
Kim measured the man's brain activity and found different parts of the brain were active when the man used the melody with the words.
He actually used the left and right hemisphere more than earlier. So what that means is that when he used the melody technique, he used the right hemisphere more.
Kim says the verbal results were obvious. Only two disfluencies, pauses, repetitions, and the like, recorded when the man used the technique versus nine when he did not. Both sets of data seem to confirm what Fraser and Mayer say about music and speech centers in the brain. Kim says the results are interesting, but he needs to conduct a larger study with a control group before he can say whether the brain activity or the usefulness of the technique he observed apply to a more general population. Still, Kim, Fraser, and Mayer agree that music has been shown to play an important part in helping stutterers, whether they pursue a music career or not, as well as those with more extreme challenges. But Mayer cautions, while music is a powerful therapeutic tool, it is not a cure-all. Some people with big deficits are helped and will improve in other areas, but many will not. Even so, she says, for them, music can still be important.
You know, the big thing we're looking at a lot of times in stroke and brain injury and dementia is just quality. Quality of life. How much time out of the day do you spend, you know, being happy or doing something you feel is useful in a social situation, say, or something that you're proud of? And that's sometimes even where some of this can come into play.
And whether it's a mild stutter or a massive impairment, improving someone's quality of life seems reason enough to try. I'm Geist Evens, WNIJ News.